This is Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, and we will be studying together the Mishnayos of Maseches Shavuos, beginning today with lesson number 1, which will cover the first 2 Mishnayos of Maseches Shavuos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Mishnah Beis. The Torah tells us that once every 7th year, on the 7th year, we are restricted with what we can do on the farms, gardens, and lawns that we have in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah speaks of the mitzvah of Shavuos or Shemitah. Shavuos meaning the 7th year, Shemitah meaning the year that we refrain from, we hold back from various activities, mostly agricultural, but as we see, even certain financial activities. The major source in the Torah for the laws of Shavuos is to be found at the very beginning of Parshas Bahar. In Vayikra, Perek Chof Hei, Psukim Aleph to Zion. There we are told that the 7th year, the Shona HaShviyis, is a sabbatical year, a year like Shabbos. Vashona HaShviyis, Shabbos, Shabboson, Yihye Lo'oretz. The Torah specifies certain activities which are prohibited during Shviyis. As we will study the Mishnah, we will learn of various similar activities or even different activities that are not spelled out specifically in the Torah, but which are also forbidden, some min haTorah and some only rabbinically midrabbonon. Our Maseches Shavuos, begins by discussing restrictions upon plowing, which is not specifically mentioned in Parshas Bahar as one of the activities which is prohibited during Shemitah. Furthermore, the first 2 chapters of our Maseches, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, are not speaking of the 7th year at all, but rather of the weeks and months prior to the 7th year, weeks and months which are still part of the 6th year, during which time certain activities are prohibited because of the general mitzvah of Tosefes Shavuos. Tosefes Shavuos means that, as we will see, we are required to keep Shemitah, to keep Shavuos, not only from the actual beginning of the calendar year of Shavuos, from Rosh Hashanah of the 7th year, but somewhat earlier as well. Just as on Yom Kippur and even on Shabbos, we are supposed to keep a little extra time prior to Shabbos or Yom Kippur, so too for Shavuos, we are supposed to keep Shavuos even earlier than the year of Shavuos itself. I'm speaking now, of course, in generalities. The specifics we will now begin to study. The Mishnah in the first perek, the first Mishnah, begins to discuss the restrictions upon plowing during the 6th year in a field known as a Sedei Ha'ilon, a field in which trees are growing. As we will see, it matters not whether they are fruit trees or ordinary trees which do not bear fruit or do not bear edible fruit. The law applies to any field in which trees are growing. And the Mishnah says, we'll plunge right into the Mishnah, Ad emosai chorshin b'stei ho'ilon erev shavuos. It's the 6th year, the eve of Shavuos, Erev Shavuos. How many months into the 6th year may we plow a field which is in which trees are planted. How many trees, how large of a field, we will see as we continue in our study. The Mishnah records a machlokes in this matter between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As we will see, the two opinions are not very discrepant from each other. They are somewhat similar. Beis Shammai omrim kol zman shehu yofe lapri. The act of plowing a field has various functions, accomplishes various results. One of the results is that it prepares a field to be sown. If you plow the field, then you can put seeds where the plows plowed. That's one function. If you plow a field for that reason, toward the end of the sixth year, in the springtime of the sixth year, well, it looks like you're preparing to plant on the seventh year. So therefore, the plowing would be preparatory to Shavuos and might therefore be prohibited even in Shishis, even in the sixth year Erev Shavuos. Or plowing can serve a different function, not to prepare the earth for some future activity such as sowing, planting, but rather sometimes plowing is necessary to nourish the existing trees, the fruit which is already on the tree during the sixth year. In which case, you're not plowing in preparation for Shavuos. You're plowing for the benefit of the peros, of the fruit, which is on the tree during the sixth year. Well, how can we discern, how can we distinguish between whether the plowing is made in preparation for the future Shavuos, or whether the plowing is being done for the maintenance and cultivation of the existing fruits of the sixth year? So Beis Shammai says, Kol zman shehu yofe lepri, in Shavat, in Ador, in Nisan, even into Iyar, it is permissible to plow, because that late in the spring, even that late in the spring, as Iyar, it is still beneficial, it is still yofe, it is still good for the fruit on the tree from the sixth year. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you can plow in a stei ho'ilon up until the time, as long as the plowing is to the benefit of the existing fruits. Ubeis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel says, no, you can even plow a little longer. Ad ho'atzeres, until Shavuos. In the Mishnah and in general in Chazal, the Yom Tov that we call Shavuos is called Atzeres. The Mishnah concludes, Mishnah Aleph concludes, Ukerovim divrei elu lihiyos kedivrei elu. There really is not much of a difference between the two. Beis Shammai's man is a little bit earlier, because Shammai is generally the stricter of the two. So he only allows a plowing up until a few days before Shavuos. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can plow in the field in the sixth year, in the field of Estei Ho'ilon, up until Shavuos, as late as the fifth day of Sivan, the day before Shavuos. Now this mitzvah of Tosefes Shavuos, as we will see, is subject to various opinions, and we will have to ascertain and list those opinions as we go along. The interesting thing is that we will eventually learn that Rabban Gamliel came along with his Beis Din and decided that this was something that was unnecessary in his day, where he had the right to overrule previous poskim, previous bote din, that were superior to him in wisdom and in authority, is something we will discuss briefly later. But Rabban Gamliel came along and said, no, you can plow in a stei ho'ilon all the way up until Erev Rosh Hashanah. So actually, most of what we will be learning in the next two parokim was suspended by Rabban Gamliel. Nevertheless, for various reasons, as I hope to show you, it is important that we understand what is called technically the Mishneh Rishona, the earlier practice before Rabban Gamliel came along with his heter, with his permissive overruling of the previous practice. So, briefly to summarize, one can plow during the sixth year a sedeh ilan, an orchard or a grove of trees. One can plow there with no restrictions up until, let's follow Beis Hillel, up until Shavuos, up until late spring. Mishnah Beis continues to define the type of sedeh ilan, the type of field of trees that we're referring to. And the Mishnah begins by asking the rhetorical question, Ezehu sedeh ha'ilon. What type of field satisfies the requirements of being called the sedeh ha'ilon, allowing one to plow right up until Atzeres, right up until Shavuos, late spring? Now, it's important to note that when we will be studying the second perek, we will learn of a different type of field, not a sedeh ilan, not a field in which trees are growing, but rather what is called a sodeh halovon, a white field, meaning a field without the shade of trees, or alternatively, a field which appears white because what's growing in the field is wheat or barley, and the color, especially in the sunlight, is white, unlike an orchard in which trees are growing. And we will learn that when it comes to that type of field, a sedeh halovon, a white field, the restriction for plowing is much stricter. And you can only plow until Pesach, until the holiday of Pesach, which is about 2 months earlier than Shavuos. So that a sedeh halovon is stricter. You must refrain from plowing from Erev Pesach on. The sedeh ha'ilon has the leniency that allows you to plow up until Erev Shavuos, according to Beis Hillel. So how now it becomes important to be able to determine, does this field qualify as a sedeh ha'ilon, as a field with trees? Or must we follow the stricter ruling with this particular field, and even though it may have a tree or two or even several, doesn't quite qualify, as we will see, as a sedeh ha'ilon, and must be treated as a sedeh halovon, and therefore one is restrained from plowing as early as Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah goes on to define how many trees are necessary and in what space do those trees have to be contained in order to qualify as a sedeh ha'ilon and justify plowing up until late spring, Erev Shavuos. The Mishnah answers, you know what a sedeh ha'ilon is? Kol shalosha ilanos leves se'ah. If it has three trees, not less than three trees, and if these three trees are contained within the territory of a Beis Se'ah, a territory which would yield a Se'ah, a measure of volume of wheat. We know that a Beis Se'ah in geometrical measurement is a field which is 50 amos by 50 amos, 2,500 square amos. That is a Beis Se'ah. So if you have an amma is roughly 18 to 24 inches. So a foot and a half, let's say. So it's in terms of feet, chamishim amma would be 75 feet by 75 feet. If you have in such a space, such a territory of that size, 50 amos by 50 amos, three trees, then this qualifies as a sedeh ilan, and one can plow in it all around the trees and all around the field, because plowing the whole field is necessary to sustain these three trees without restriction up until Erev Shavuos, as late as that. However, there is a further qualification, and that is that these three trees cannot just be trees that aren't bearing fruit or that are bearing only a small amount of fruit. Rather, im ru'uyin la'asos kikar d'velo shel shishim mone bo'italki, if these trees were fig trees and they would produce a kikar d'velo shel shishim mone, a d'velo is a the way they used to take dates, figs, is they would take the figs, cut them open so that the juice would run, put them into a round frame, and compress them in the frame. So they would eventually adhere together, stick together, and form a ball, or rather large ball, of dates. And they would sell, I keep saying dates, but I mean figs. We're talking about a te'ena, which is a fig tree. So these dried figs would become compressed together as a big, large ball in this frame, and then the figs would be extracted from the frame and sold. How many balls of figs do you want? Do you want one ball, two balls, 10 balls, etc.? And people would cut or spoon off some of those figs to eat them. So, if these three trees can produce a devela, a sticky ball of figs that weighs shishim mone boitalki, that weighs 60 mone, mone is a certain coin, but the Italian form of the coin. People who are expert in this estimate that we're talking about something in the area of 28 kilogram balls of figs. If the three trees can produce that much, then chorshim kol beis sa'ah bishvilon. Then you can plow the whole beis sa'ah for these three trees. We have among the basic meforshim, there are many meforshim on Maseches Shviyos, but the two Rishonim, who are the fundamental commentaries on Maseches Shviyos, are, of course, the Rambam and the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon Mishantz, one of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rash says that each one of these three trees must be able to produce a devela of shishim moneh, such a large quantity of compressed figs. However, the Rambam disagrees and says, no, the three trees together must be able to produce a kikar d'velo shel shishim mone, so that each one of the three trees, if it produces one third of a kikar d'velo shel shishim mone boitalki, and together they have three thirds, a complete kikar d'velo shel shishim mone boitalki, that is sufficient. As we continue, we will continue following the Rambam's pshat, which is the more lenient pshat, and that is, if the three trees together, combined, can produce that amount of figs, the amount that when compressed together would equal a kikat velo shel shishim mone boitalki, then that's considered a steyoilon, three trees dispersed over a ground which is no larger than 50 amos by 50 amos, a beso, and the trees are productive enough so that the three of them, the three trees, can produce that amount of figs, then we are allowed to do the lenient approach and plow that field up until Shavuos, up until late spring. However, the Mishnah continues, Pochos Mikan, suppose you have less than that, meaning either less than three trees or less than the three trees can produce only less than shishim mone, than the weight of shishamane of figs, then we cannot plow the entire field. However, we are still permitted to plow the area right around each tree. So pochos mikan, if the three trees together, following Rambam, are not so productive, ein chorshin lohen, then you can't plow the entire field of 50 amos by 50 amos, but rather elo melo ha'ore v'salo chutzolo. You can only plow the immediate circumference around the tree, enough space for the ore. Ore is the name of the person, the function of the person who actually harvests the figs from the tree. A person who takes the olives off an olive tree is called a botser. A person who harvests wheat is called a kotser. The person who plucks figs off the fig tree is called the ore. So you have to have enough room for the ore to walk around the tree with his basket in which he's going to be putting the figs outside of him. In other words, not between him and the tree, but on the outside of his circle as he moves around the tree. That much you can plow without restriction up until the sixth day of Sivan, up until Erev Shavuos. However, if those three trees are productive enough to produce shishim mona, develo shel shishim mona, then you're not limited to the circumference enough to have the man who's doing the plucking of the from the tree and his basket to go around the tree. But the entire field of a beisah can be plowed right up until Shavuos. And so we have completed Mishnah Aleph and Beis of Perek Aleph, and in the process have concluded lesson number 1.